Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Een programma wat over de hele wereld wordt bekeken. Van de Zuidpool tot de Noordpool. Van China tot hartje Amerika. En van IJsland tot Zuid-Afrika. En dat is heel bijzonder dat je met elkaar verbonden bent in één uur van kracht. Hour of Power. En ik wens iedereen zometeen vanuit de Crystal Cathedral een hele goede en fijne en gezegende dienst toe.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
God's people said, wow, God is good. So I want to invite you to greet those who are sitting next to you and around you. Shake their hands and say, God loves you and so do I. Well, we have a wonderful morning plan today. We have my father here, and he's going to be interviewing Miss Arizona. Her name is Hillary Griffith. Jim Poyt is with us. He's going to be reading the scripture this morning. We've got the tenor, the classical tenor voice of Daniel Rodriguez singing. We have Don Newman, of course, with the Crystal Cathedral Choir. And we have Sean Groombridge at the Mighty Hazel Wright Organ, and Mark Riley with the Hour of Power Orchestra. And so, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Spirit is here in this place today, that you're touching hearts and minds and souls and lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that he is alive today, that he brings hope and peace and goodness. And so we rest in your saving arms, O Lord. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. As we continue to give glory to God today, listen to these words of praise for our salvation from the New Testament book of Ephesians. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
My guest is the beautiful Miss Arizona, Hillary Griffith. This past year, she competed in the Miss America 2000 pageant hosted by Mario Lopez and was the first runner-up for the Quality of Life Award. Hillary is an accomplished pageant winner and singer. In many ways, she had a normal childhood until her life was forever changed. November 9, 2004, raped in her apartment while attending Arizona State University. It is amazing how many beautiful young people today never escape high school without carrying some horrific memories. And this church specializes in trying to help people overcome, to apply forgiveness, and to find a new dream that can help cover their hurt. Well, after this devastating tragedy, she relied on her faith in Jesus Christ to overcome her pain. Today, she's making a positive difference in the lives of many through her willingness to share her story in churches, schools, and wherever she's invited in order to raise awareness about the trauma of rape. Well, Hillary is an inspiration. She's currently finishing her bachelor's and then her master's program at Arizona State University to pursue her dream of becoming a broadcast journalist. So welcome with me the current Miss Arizona, Hillary Griffith.
Hi. Wow.
You know, we've had a lot of Miss Americas here, but we've never had anyone or any Miss Arizona before.
Well, it's my honor.
Well, let me finish the sentence.
Sorry.
That is...
I interrupted.
That's all right. That is prettier, sweeter than you are.
Oh, I should have let him finish. Thank you.
Oh, wow. How did you get involved in pageantry?
You know, it's funny. I never grew up competing in pageants. I never thought I would be a pageant girl. But in addition to being a singer, I was a competitive baton twirler. And I had a couple friends that competed. When I was about a senior in high school, my baton coach said, you know, I really think you should try this. This could be something you would be good at. And I said, huh, you're funny. I don't think I want to do that. But I decided to give it a shot. And when I was a 17-year-old senior, I entered my first pageant. I won and went to the Miss Arizona pageant, had a blast, and 4 years later, I won the title.
Wow. Now, what did it feel like then to win Miss America? The Miss America, Miss Arizona would
yes.
be coming up. Yeah. Did it give you ambitions to become Miss America?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing to win Miss Arizona. After competing for 4 years, I was ready, and I was so looking forward to the opportunities that I could have to help people. And then competing in the Miss America pageant was just an amazing experience to be there with 51 other incredible young women who are just so dedicated and sincere about their community service and just looking forward to helping better their society. It was just so much fun. I can't go on enough about how amazing this program is.
November 2004, is that the year?
Yes.
When it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Was that before or after your Miss America, Miss Arizona?
Well, I was competing in the Miss Arizona program. I wasn't Miss Arizona yet. So I actually was getting ready for a local pageant 4 days later when I was raped on November 9th, 2004.
How did it affect you?
Well, obviously, it devastated my life. Growing up in a Christian family, a Christian household, I had kind of been protected from anything like that. I had never gotten into any sort of trouble. I never drank. I never smoked a cigarette. I never skipped class. And I'd never had a tragedy affect me before. Basically, what happened was I was in my apartment, my off-campus apartment. The doors and windows were locked, and somebody broke in and raped me at knife point, which it shocked me because I always had this image that things like that don't happen to people like me. And they certainly don't happen when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're in your apartment with the doors and windows locked at 9 o'clock in the evening. So it just completely, it turned my life upside down. I was very confused. I felt like, you know, something very special and very private had been taken away from me, and I didn't really quite know what to do about it.
You called the police?
Immediately.
Did he exit shortly after the incident?
He did, and thank the Lord that he didn't hurt me any further. He fled the apartment, and I immediately called the police right after the attack and reported it. Unfortunately, he hasn't been caught yet, but we're hopeful that he will be.
How did you get through the tragedy?
Well, immediately I knew that I had two choices. I could either run from God or I could run to him. And I'm so thankful that I made the choice that I did to cling to God, because honestly, my relationship with God and with Christ was the only thing that I felt like I had left in my life. And looking back on the weeks and the months before the attack, I sincerely believe that he was preparing me for what happened. And I don't mean I had some sort of a psychic premonition that this was going to happen, but I started really getting the urge to read the Bible more and to kind of learn more about the Word and what God is telling us every day. I started listening to Christian music in the car, which really just kept my mind focused. So I know that he was with me before the attack happened. Then during the attack, I know that he was with me as well. One of the first thoughts that I had during the rape was, Hillary, you have to forgive this man. And I can tell you right now, that's not what I would have been thinking at that time. And so I know that he was there with me, keeping me safe.
The very thought, that positive, redemptive thought coming into your brain, it was a God moment in your life.
Absolutely. It made it so clear that he was there with me, even when I felt like I was so alone and so helpless. I had Jesus Christ with me, and it was just the most amazing feeling. And then after, as I was trying to recover, I knew that he was with me as well. I remember I was feeling very lonely and very scared one day, and I was in my room just kind of crying and having a little pity party and thinking, nobody understands what I'm feeling. Nobody knows what I'm going through. And all of a sudden, I felt God really speak to my heart, saying, no, I was there with you. I know what you're going through. And the biggest smile just came over my face. I'm sure it looked really weird with tears streaming down my face, but I just knew at that moment that, yes, God was with me, and he'll be with me forever. So it just made it that much easier to have the hope for the future and to be able to get through the pain and the hurt that I was feeling with Christ in my life.
Wow. What message would you like everybody to carry with them listening to your testimony this morning?
I think there's two main things, and I think the first is that no matter what you're facing in life, you can overcome it with a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He can get you through anything. You know, there's nothing in this world that he can't help you overcome. And then the second thing is that God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for each and every person out there. And I've learned that because he's taken this horrible tragedy in my life and he's using it for his glory. Because now I have this testimony where I can tell people, no, this is what Jesus Christ has done in my life. This is why you need him in yours. And he's taken something that was so evil and so awful, and he's using it for good. And I just think that shows that no matter what you're facing in life, you can overcome it, and it can be eventually used for God's glory.
So God doesn't plan these evil acts, but he sees them when they're happening, and he comes in with a last word,
exactly.
Takes the stage, puts his arm around the wounded, lonely, hurting person, and gives them a kiss of mercy. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Thank you.
En voor deze bijdrage in de Christelijke Cathedraal gaan we naar Keith Bakker. Keith is een inmiddels bekende Nederlander door zijn programma Van Etter tot Engel. Heeft veel op televisie verteld over een onderwerp wat heel veel Nederlanders bezighoudt en in de greep houdt, namelijk verslaving. En Keith, verslaving, hoe is dat bij jou begonnen?
Nou, ik ben ermee geboren, denk ik. Ik had gewoon een enorm leegte en ik leerde heel jong, van jongs af aan, dat als ik iets van buiten afnam, dan voelde ik me beter. Zeg maar een joint of een pilsje of whatever, een vrouw of iets. Ja, you know, ik zocht altijd iets van buiten mee om die leegte te vullen. En zo is het allemaal eigenlijk begonnen. Maar ik was heel jong toen het allemaal aan de gang ging.
Ja. Maar je raakte op een gegeven moment heel zwaar verslaafd.
Ja, onder een brug in Amsterdam. Ik was gewoon zo'n straatjunk geworden. Maar als ik het doe, dan doe ik het gewoon goed. Zo. Ik had het wel bereikt.
Ja.
Ja, maar het was moeilijk.
Je liet je opnemen in een verslavingskliniek, maar daar was je niet al te enthousiast over, want kreeg je gratis heroïne verstrekt. Dus dat vond je ook geen oplossing van de Nederlandse regering.
Ja, en daar ben ik ook nu mee bezig om dat te veranderen. Ik heb nu verslavingskliniek in Nederland. En die klinieken zijn geboren uit die ervaring. Die ervaring, ik ging naar de reguliere zorg toe en ik vertelde dat ik wou stoppen. En die vertelde mij dat ik allemaal medicijnen moest slikken. En dat wou ik eigenlijk niet. Ik ben de enige in die tijd, de enige mensen die mij wouden helpen of ja, die wouden mij opnemen, waren de christenen op een boerderij in Elburg. Bij de schouwplaats, een heel mooie plek.
Dat is ook gebeurd.
Ja, ja, en ik denk wel dat ze gek voor mij werden. Want ik was niet de makkelijkste, denk ik. Nog steeds niet. Nee. Maar de zorgstelsel, hoe ze in elkaar zit, die is niet ontwikkeld om mensen veel keuzes te geven. En ja, ik ben daar vrij idealistisch in. En ik ben, ja, ik ga de politiek. Ik ben bezig met de politiek. En ja, ik wil veranderingen brengen. En dat is nu ook gebeurd. Er is heel veel veranderd de laatste jaren door mijn knokken.
Ja. Ja, daar bewonder ik je om, omdat je op iedereen afstapt, omdat je een idee in je kop hebt en dan denk je dat is goed en daar ga ik voor. Maar wat is jouw diepste motivatie om dit te doen?
Mijn geloof is eigenlijk mijn... ik doe het zeker niet voor het geld. Ik doe het omdat het it's the right thing to do. Ik ja, moet
nog
het
even over
doen.
Jouw mooie accent, want je bent...
Ja, Amerikaan, ja. Ja. Ik ben in Amerika geboren, ik ben hier naartoe gekomen... In 85, maar die accent gaat nooit weg.
Nee,
het is een beetje mijn trademark geworden. Mensen moeten erom lachen. Maar ik gebruik mijn ervaring die ik heb gehad. Iedereen heeft ervaringen. Weet je, mijn was toevallig verslaving. Maar iedereen heeft iets. En ik vind het wel belangrijk dat je die zeg maar, nare of moeilijke ervaring gebruikt... om andere mensen te helpen. Ja. Dan heeft het een doel, dan heeft het een reden.
Ja. Waar krijg je tranen van in je ogen?
Als ik een brief krijg van de Belastingdienst.
Nee, maar wat, ik vind hem heel goed. Ja, dat gevoel kan ik een beetje delen.
Je hebt heel Nederland voelt
ja,
dat.
Heel Nederland, ja. Ja. Nee, maar wat raakt jou... ik vind hem leuk, hoor. Maar wat raakt jou emotioneel? Want je bent zelf verslaafd geweest als je al die ellende om je heen ziet.
Ik kan soms huilen als... ja, vaak eigenlijk. Mensen moeten om mij lachen bij de afscheid van mensen... als ze bij ons in de kliniek zijn geweest. Dan heb je een moment waar zeg maar, de staf en iedereen... die komen allemaal bij elkaar om deze mensen een beetje in een zontje te zetten... over hoe ze zijn. En dit zijn echt... wat je daar voelt, de liefde die je voelt in die kamer op dat moment... daar kan je gewoon niet omheen. En elke keer probeer... En mensen, ja, het is gewoon een onderwerp bij ons, weet je. Maar als ik dan ga spreken, dan gaat het meteen... Dan komt het. En ik denk, nee, niet weer. Maar zo werkt dat. Maar ik had laatst iemand die kwam naar mij toe met een baby. Hè. De baby was 3 dagen of 4 dagen oud. En ik heb hem 6 of 7 jaar geholpen. 6 of 7 jaar geleden geholpen met afkicken. En hij kwam naar mij toe en hij stond te huilen. Met die baby in zijn arm en hij zei, nou, thank you for helping me. En dan denk je, oké, het is allemaal de moeite waard.
Ja. Je hebt een succesvolle televisieserie gemaakt en die heette van Etten tot Engel. Jonge lui die thuis niet te houden waren, ruzie met hun ouders, volkomen eigen gang gingen. En die ging jij in Kenia, heel aardig was dat programma, tot wat meer burgers en nette kinderen maken. Heeft dat geholpen?
Ja, ik denk wel dat ze door die ervaring wel open zijn voor opinie van buitenaf. Weet je, met een jongen van 14, dat is al groot genoeg.
Ja.
Als eentje belt en die zegt, luister, weet je, na die ervaring... sommige die kinderen bellen nog steeds en ik zie ze... Sommige van de kinderen zie ik nog regelmatig. Ja. En die zijn open en er zijn wel veranderingen gebeurd. En nou, dat is wel meegenomen. Ja. Maar het is een langetermijn verhaal. Ja. En die moet blijven ook, die langetermijn structuur.
Je helpt nu elke dag mensen met verslaving. Je hebt natuurlijk vele vormen van verslaving. Gokverslaving, drugsverslaving, alcoholverslaving, seksverslaving. Wat is jouw advies aan mensen die verslaafd zijn?
Neem het serieus en probeer naar de realiteit te kijken ervan. Weet je, de ontkenningssysteem is zo groot rond verslaving. Niet alleen voor verslaafden, maar ook voor de familie. En er is niks mis mee met het niet alleen kunnen doen. Zo, weet je, trek. Je moet een keer moet je aan de bel gaan trekken. En dat heb ik ook gedaan. Ik liep ergens naartoe en ik ergens naar binnen. Ik zei bij die christen, ik zei, ja, ik weet niet meer wat ik moet doen. Kunnen jullie mij helpen? En toen is mijn leven helemaal veranderd. Zo, stap ergens naartoe. Ga ergens naartoe.
Je bent een regelmatig kijker van Hour of Power. Nou, als Amerikaan zal je het zeker aanspreken, onze diensten. Wat vind je ervan?
Ja, ik vind het leuk. Leuk programma.
Waarom?
Ja, het past bij mijn manier van denken. En mijn manier is dat je kan alles doen. Je kan eigenlijk alles bereiken dat je wil in je leven. Als jij wel met de juiste houding opstaat in de ochtend. Ik heb op mijn antwoordapparaat staat... have a good day unless you've made other plans. En dat is ook zo, weet je. Ik kan beslissen hoe ik voel in de ochtend. Ik kan mezelf vertellen, nou, ik ga een rotdag hebben. Of ik ben moe. Of ik ben ziek. Of ik ben gewoon, ik ga er keihard tegenaan. Ik voel me lekker en we gaan ervoor, weet je. Het ligt ook aan mijn eigen houding.
Ik wens je met je opvang van verslaafden en de energie die je hebt om veel dingen te doen, alle goeds toe.
Dank je wel.
Fijn dat je hier was, Keith.
Ja, helemaal goed.
En ik hoop dat mensen jouw advies serieus nemen, dat je in de ontkenningsfase kunt blijven zitten. Ik ben niet verslaafd, maar er is hulp in Nederland. En pak dat met beide handen aan. En zoals je van Keith gehoord hebt, ook God wil je met beide handen omvatten en helpen. Maar je moet zelf die stap nemen. Wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. En ik hoop dat je zult genieten van de muziek die je nu gaat zien en beluisteren.
Great.
Wow, Daniel, you're tremendous. We love you. We appreciate your music. And our heart just goes out for you as you continue to travel and sing for God. And we keep you in our prayers.
It's always good coming back home. I bless you all.
Good to have you home. I know as the Holy Spirit of God works in your life, that no matter what you face today, we need to hear and take to heart and realize that the power of God is far bigger than anything we face. And I am overwhelmed when I look at the faces and the struggles that people are dealing with today. I pray consistently. We have a prayer community, and I consistently go through and pray for people in our prayer community who request for me to pray for them. And when I go through and I read the scriptures and I read the testimonies of God's people on earth, I'm reminded of the incredible power of God to take the trials that we face and create something good for us. I have a few scriptures I'm going to share with you today. The first one is going to be from the words of James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He was the head of the church after Jesus Christ rose. And here's what he told us. Consider it pure joy. Did you hear that? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Consider it pure joy. Then he goes on and he says, blessed is the man, the one, the person. Blessed is him who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. God allows things to happen. He allows them to happen so that we can have the opportunity to experience the joy and the blessings of realizing the fullness of God's love for us and remind ourselves that we are alive and that we are real and that we're not robots, but we can feel love and we can experience the exercise of faith and we can experience the test of God upon our lives. We could go on reading in Philippians 4:13 says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I look at the troubles and the circumstances that people face every day. And I realize that there is a message that we need to hear. That the rain falls upon the just and the unjust alike. That everybody goes through tough times. We all face the challenges and the struggles and the tough times of life. No one is exempt. The fact of the matter is, that when we stand in the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, he uses these trials and these circumstances to make us better people than we would ever be without them. I can think of one such instance with a woman who was a guest here in this pulpit. Her name was Laura Wilkinson. Laura Wilkinson had spent her life with the hope and the dream of someday being an Olympic diver. And she thought her entire world crashed when she was doing a specific dive
And her foot hit the board and broke in three places. 6 months before the Olympics. And her foot is shattered. Her life is shattered as far as she's concerned. Everything that she had spent her entire existence for is gone. But then she read these words. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so can you. And for the next 2 months, she couldn't walk on her foot, she couldn't dive, she couldn't do a thing. But she held on to those promises. And she practiced her diving in her mind. And that's all she could do, was practice it in her mind. And the amazing thing is, she made it to the Olympics. I'll never forget, 2000, Sydney Olympics, watching them on television. I just flipping through the channels. There's the Olympics. I stop and I turn it on, and there's the diving competition. And it caught my attention because I saw this woman walking up a ladder, a 10-meter platform. That's 30 feet in the air. And she would limp up this ladder. And when she would get to the top of the ladder, I saw her take a shoe off and throw it down to her coach. That got my attention. And all of a sudden, this young woman limped to the edge and stood on the side of that platform and made a spectacular dive. And she went from eighth place to third place. And she put the pressure on everybody. So much pressure that the Chinese, who had the first place locked up, turned in bad scores. And the Canadians turned in some bad scores. All of a sudden, just like that, she moved into first place with a 1-point margin and two dives left. Her next dive was an inward 2.5 somersault. That was the dive where she crushed her foot. And I could hear her quoting the words, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. If I win or I lose, I am content. If my foot breaks 6 months before the tryouts, I am content. If I lose my mother, my father, my son, my daughter, I am content. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. She stood at the edge of that platform and she did another perfect dive. And I'll never forget her jumping on top of her coach over and over again when they announced that she had won the gold medal. She said over and over again in the news, picked it up and broadcast it around the world, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. She said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The scriptures, everywhere we look, point to the comfort of God's hand in our lives, that even though we live in a world of sorrow and grief, even though we live in a world of sin and evil, even though we live in a world that is surrounds us with troubles and tough times, we can rest in the assurance and the conviction that God is on our side. One of the most popular, well-read, and understood, and preached about passages of Scripture takes place in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. In
And he continues to say, light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. And then it says, after this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the countryside where he spent time with them and baptized. Now, John also was baptizing because there were so many people constantly coming to be baptized. People are afraid to come into the light of God's grace because they're afraid that their sins will be exposed. And the greatest sin I see is the fear and the doubt and the lack of conviction that all things will work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Today, God is calling us back into faith, to trust him and to believe in his words and to realize that no matter what the circumstances, we can be content because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Today it is time for us to understand and realize that God wants to come and make us sincere, whole, complete, beautiful people. That he can take the pain and he can take the sorrow, he can use it and shape it to make us into the people that he wants us to be. This past week, I've went around the nation speaking and talking with some of the people who are members of our church around the world. I was in Florida, actually in Atlanta, and I was having meetings there there were 60 people in one meeting, and I was telling them and talking with them about what happened here on Palm Sunday when Evel Knievel spoke and we baptized many people. All of a sudden, somebody raised their hand and they said, can I be baptized? And I said, yeah. Is there anyone else who wants to be baptized? And they raised their hands and they said, I'd like to be, I've been baptized before, but can I be baptized again? I said, sure. And I baptized 20 people that night. And the next night I did it again, and the next night I did it again. And I've come to the realization that there are people who want to come and experience the presence of Christ through baptism. As the scripture says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from your impurities and from all your idols, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you. And so, in the last service, I invited people who wanted to be baptized to be baptized. And for the next 30 minutes, I was baptizing those who wanted to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm going to do it again. If you want to be baptized, I want to invite you to come and experience the presence of God. Confess your sins, confess your love, confess your trust in Jesus Christ. And say yes to him. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to put our faith and our trust in you. And when we go through difficult
heart-wrenching times. Give us the faith, O Lord, to trust you, to love you. Amen. And so I have but only one thing to do. And that is to invite you, wherever you are, that if you want to be baptized today and make this leap of faith, that you can come down and I'll baptize you right now, right here. We're going to stand up and we're going to sing and allow people to get out of the aisles if they want to be baptized, because today's the day to take the leap of faith.
so I thank you, Lord, that we have responded to your call. And that if we've chosen to repent from our ways and come to you, into your presence, and to receive your baptism. And so we thank you, Lord, for your cleansing spirit, which fills us to overflowing with joy and goodness and hope. And we know that with you we can do all things. And so we thank you, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen.
En zo zijn we gekomen aan het einde van deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Zo'n uur vliegt om. En ik hoop dat je of u er heel veel aan gehad hebt. Ik weet niet hoe je hebt zitten kijken. Misschien wel in de gevangenis of ziekenhuisbed, thuis op de bank. Of misschien kijkt u deze band terug. Maar ik hoop dat iedereen er wat aan heeft aan dit programma. U betekent veel voor ons als kijkers. En we willen ook graag veel voor u betekenen. Dat kan onder andere als u een probleem heeft, dan wil ons gebedsteam graag voor u bidden. U kunt zich opgeven via onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Daar is ook heel veel nieuws over Hour of Power te vinden. U kunt zich gratis abonneren op de overdenking of het gebed van de dag. Er is de wekelijkse nieuwsbrief waar u zich gratis kunt op abonneren. En natuurlijk de kerkdiensten die je terug kunt kijken via onze video kerkdienst site. Heel fijn dat er zoveel mensen zich betrokken voelen bij Hour of Power. En nogmaals, daarvoor heel hartelijk dank, ook onze donateurs. Graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.